Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. We're talking some Brewers baseball in the first hour. Talk a little golf as well. Rocco Mediate stopped by and had a chance to chat with him regarding the Champions Tour and the AmFam Tournament coming up. Looking forward to that. And now we get back to some Brewers baseball. Let's bring in our insider, Adam McAlvey, shall we?
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Bring him in from Brewers.com and MLB.com, our insider, Adam McAlvey, joining us. Adam, are you on the West Coast? Are you back here in Milwaukee?
No, I'm back here. Food
okay.
Yesterday.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm missing Petco's a great park, and I'm sad to miss it.
I wanted to ask you, because we're sitting here talking about this team, and when you go over all the stats, you look, hey, the team's in the middle of the pack, they're leading, when it comes to statistics, they're leading the division by a half game, it's you know, June 18th, it's kind of where you want to be, but in the reality of it, do you think this team, the way it sits today, is a true World Series team?
Yeah, look, they're really interesting, and I'll be honest, we were sitting there talking about this in the press box the other day. They're a strange first-place team because you look at them on paper and you're not that impressed, but yet they are in first place. And I don't know if that means that they are fortunate to be where they are, that they're better than we think they are, or if we're all just idiots and we can't see that they're a good team and that every good team has flaws, and we focus on the flaws rather than focus on the fact that they're winning games and they're scoring a good number of runs and they're in first place pretty, you know, what, game 71 or whatever it is, game 72 in the season. I don't know, Bill. I will say that I'm expecting over the next 6 weeks that every time somebody writes an article about pitchers available on the trade block, the Brewers are going to be in the first three teams mentioned, because they just sure look like a team that if they're going to win the World Series, which is the goal after you play to within a game of getting there last year, they look like a team that could use pitching. Whether that's bullpen, which they've added in the past couple of years, or whether they do spring this year and make a play for a starting pitcher, it just you could easily fit a guy like that in and make it, and it would seem that that would make the team better.
Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, I mean, Jesus got a little bit better over the weekend when he's out in San Francisco, gets his fifth dinger of the year, you know, gets the average up above 200, but both guys still struggling mightily, and the screams are getting louder, and I'm sure you're getting them too each night. Keston Hiura is toiling away down in the minors, and these two guys are still in the starting lineup. At what point does something give?
Yeah, look, and my answer is still I don't know, because if I said this to somebody the other day, if I knew when they were going to pull the trigger on that, I definitely would not keep it secret. I think it's less I don't know that Aguilar is in play with that, but Travis Shaw certainly is, because you saw it when Shaw was down where they moved Moustakas over and it opens up a spot for Keston Hiura. And the hard part about Shaw is they are putting him clearly in platoon situations where he is positioned to have success, and he's not having success. And they're in a stretch right now where they're facing a lot of lefties again, so he's not getting a lot of opportunities right at this moment. But when he is getting opportunities, it's still not that loud contact that you're accustomed to seeing from Travis Shaw. So, I mean, I think that Craig Counsell and David Stearns have been pretty clear about why they are doing what they're doing with Travis Shaw, that When they look at it, they feel like this is a player that helped them. This is a player in the prime of his career, a player that if he is what he always is, makes them a better baseball team. And that's why they have stuck with this and given him such opportunity to get it together. But I think they've also said that there is a breaking point where you just can't, where it maybe this is just not the year. And you do have to kind of move on if you have a better option. And in this case, they definitely have a good option in Keston Hira. So I don't, you know, at some point they do make a move if there's not production. And the hard part is knowing when exactly that point is. But it sure seems like as we get to what we're about less than 10 days away now from the midway point of the season, the mathematical midpoint, you know, if you've given a guy half a season and you're not getting production, that you can't be accused of not giving an established player a chance to get it going.
By the way, we're talking with Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. And look, the other one that's not producing offensively, but you got to give him a pass, is Lorenzo Cain. Defensively, yeah, he's tremendous, but is he ailing? I mean, he get banged up a little bit, and we're just kind of watching him try to heal before our very eyes, or is he really struggling?
Well, no, I mean, he's definitely banged up, and he's the kind of guy that when he plays banged up, you never hear about it because he is, he fights to play every day. I got to witness it on Saturday where he was told, he was getting Sunday off in San Francisco, and it's, he fights to play. He wants to play, and there have been issues that he has kind of quietly dealt with, and when there are issues to his legs, which it's been at times, that's when it really impacts him. I think there's even been plays defensively recently where he's not gotten there like he sometimes gets there. And I think he is banged up a little bit more than he's let on. But look, it's also about expanding his strike zone. And I was asking Craig Counsell about this because Cain is really disappointed in himself for expanding the zone, which is something he didn't do last year. He had such a good on-base percentage. He took his walks. He always felt like if I can get on base a couple of times, we're going to win this game. And they did a lot because Christian Yelich was so productive behind him in particular, and Shaw and Aguilar. And he was chasing a lot more this year and really frustrated about it. Craig Counsell says some of their internal numbers that's able to break it down further than we're able to look at the public stats. They say he's not chasing as much right now. So Craig Counsell and the coaches feel like Lorenzo Cain is on a good path to sort of putting those numbers back up to where they're accustomed to be. And they say that there's progress even if it's not showing up right now. So this is one of those things where, you can sit and argue and see whatever you want if you're just watching the games. But they seem to have some data that suggests that Lorenzo Cain is going in the right direction. And, the on-base is, 305 or something right now? Mm-hmm. For him, it should be up more around 350. And think of what a difference that would make for the offense with Yelich and Moustakas going pretty good behind him. That would have a pretty tangible difference. But just to add one more thing, and Yelich made this argument on Sunday, the offense is going pretty good. They're scoring enough runs to win games.
No, I agree.
Obviously not last night, but again, it's one of those areas where the standard now is, championship level team. And as well as should be after last season and bringing a lot of the guys back. And I think that's one of the reasons that some of these deficiencies kind of stand out a little bit more. And look, for Lorenzo Cain, there's big urgency to kind of get it going and get back to a little more of what he was last season.
Talking with Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, what do you make of Jimmy Nelson's first couple of starts?
We had this dispute, not a dispute, but I used the phrase when I was asking Craig Counsell about his second start, is it looked like he hit a wall, right? And in the third inning of his first start against the Marlins, he walked a couple of guys, gave up a double and a grand slam. It looked like he hit a wall. Against San Francisco, he was pitching pretty well. And he gets into the fifth inning, and he throws 12 to 13 pitches out of the zone, walks three, the Giants score three runs, totally change the game, and end up sending the Brewers to a loss. It looked like he hit a wall. Counsell and Nelson really took great pains to dispute that characterization and said 60 pitches, it has nothing to do with hitting a wall. It had nothing to do with fatigue. He just lost the strike zone. So maybe we're fighting about semantics on what we call it, but it's just been, it seemed to me that he's gotten out into these games and then things have turned south really fast. The thing I would say, and I think that they would say, is start number two is better than start number one. So if start number three is better than number two, that is moving in the right direction. The hard part is he just faced the two least potent offenses in baseball in the Marlins and Giants, and now he gets the Cincinnati Reds at Miller Park. And that's going to be a different challenge. You know, again, we're talking about on paper, anything can happen on any given day, but the Reds just look like a much more troublesome group of hitters for Jimmy Nelson. And it's going to be, you know, his challenge is going to be showing more progress and trying to figure out what the heck happened in the fifth inning the other day. If it wasn't fatigue, then what happened to lead him to suddenly lose the strike zone, and how does he correct that? You can be sure he's been working on it in the last couple of days.
Where are they on Gio Gonzalez right now?
He's in this just like playing catch. Last I had asked, he was not scheduled to get back on a mound. So I don't know. I mean, this is a mysterious one. I guess it just is a player that didn't have a normal spring training, all of a sudden was pitching in major league games, and it caught up to him. You know, the pitching in a major league game is different than pitching in a minor league game, and it's certainly different than throwing simulated games down in Florida. He was bouncing around from high school to high school and college to college trying to get some hitters. It's totally different when you're throwing in a major league game at 7 o'clock at night, and that seems to be kind of what got him. So they say there's progress, but it seems like it's still a bit away. If he's got to get back on a mound, he's got to face some hitters somewhere. For him, it's been a longer layoff. You'd think there'd be a minor league start to avoid this again. So that looks like a longer road. And, their starting rotation right now is they came into the season feeling good about their depth and feeling like they, you know, again, like last year, where even if they don't have the big names at the top, they felt like they could cover innings with just a lot of different guys. They've tapped into a lot of that depth now, and I would say it's stretched pretty thin, and that's another reason why is you know, maybe Gonzalez's progress is tied to David Stern's motivation to go out and make a move. You know, if they're really confident in Gio being really good and getting back, then maybe you're less likely to go out and make a deal. But you know, I guarantee you he's looking.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guarantee you he's looking. I just wonder at what point, and I know I got a minute here, but I wonder at what point you're kind of forced. You got to make a decision. You got to pull the trigger because there is no tomorrow when it comes to the trade deadline. You know what I mean?
Well, no, and that's different this year. It used to be that July 31st came and went, and you could still make deals in August like they did for Gio Gonzalez.
Right.
The player gets through waivers. That's no longer. July 31st is now a hard deadline. So, you know, Ken Rosenthal wrote a piece today talking about this. You know, maybe there's more motivation to strike early in the trade season and not wait until that flurry on July 31, because once, you know, if you don't get it done that day, then you know, what you got is what you got.
Right.
So I wonder whether we're going to see a little more action in baseball. Maybe not yet, but once we get into July, maybe especially past the All-Star break and that week after the All-Star break, maybe there'll be a little more movement as teams make moves.
Adam, good stuff, and we'll chat again next week, okay?
All right, see you.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. There you go. Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, I mean, getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Quick Trip and Quick Start. Don't forget, if you're a professional driver out there, you're out there on the over-the-roads, they have a rewards card for you. The fleet card is now out. Go to Quick Trip or Quick Start. Get your fleet rewards app. Download it on your mobile device. Start tracking your rewards. You can get free sodas, free coffees, free showers where the amenities are available. Just track it online or right there on your mobile device, and you're good to go. It's time you started earning more in return. And that is from our friends over at Quick Trip and Quick Star. Go to quicktriprewards.com/rewards and you're good to go. quicktrip.com/rewards and you are good to go. Stay tuned. We're going to get back into the Brewers chatter coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. You want to get a hold of us? Feel free. Give us a shout. Would love to hear from you. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends that support us, those that are going to ride for the Fisher House, Wisconsin. This is coming up on Sunday, September 1st. It's Sunday, September 1st, and we can't do this without you. We can't do it without you. So hopefully you find it within yourself to come out and join us. We need your help. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, find out information, you can. You can also go to our website. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And you can go there in the events page and click on the Big Units Annual Poker Run, and it can take you right there to get registered. We're going to start at Beachwood Sales and Service. That's in New Berlin, Wisconsin. That's Budweiser. You see it right off of 43. We're going to go about 85 to 100 miles. And then after that, we're going to end up out at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc. You hear me talk about them all the time. A terrific place. And Craig and Robert and everybody out there, they take care of us. They do a great job. They really are. They're big supporters of the Fisher House, Wisconsin, for military members, veterans, and their family members. That's who we ride for. Again, please write it down. Sunday, September 1st. If you're a motorcyclist, please sign up. The only way to get the commemorative shirt, by the way, is to pre-register. So please go ahead and do so if you could. That would be fantastic. And it's also brought to you by some great friends that are on board this year, our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. That's Sean and his whole crew over there. By the way, they've got a new coating over there called polyurea. It's fantastic, and it's got a lifetime warranty. And one of the things about Sean and that whole staff over there, they're based in Wisconsin. So a lot of these companies are trying to come into Wisconsin out of Illinois and trying to do as a matter of fact, a friend of mine just dealt with this, and they screwed the floor up, and now you got to go fight them in Illinois to get either your money back or to get the floor redone, as opposed to a Sean right here in the state of Wisconsin. And they do it from all the way from Green Bay all the way down to Milwaukee and everywhere in between. So epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. They have all the options. Call Sean, 262-443-2852. That's 262-443-2852. Again, 262-443-2852. They're great people, and they came on board this year, and we want to say thank you to them as well. Milwaukee Brewers, where it sits right now, is they're a half game lead over the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are probably reeling just about as much as the Brewers. Let me ask you this, and this is a great question. I can't take credit for this because as I sat here and started reading some of the emails, Kerry writes, well, tell me this. If you don't think the Brewers are a World Series team, do you think the Cubs are? Who is more equipped to get deeper into the postseason? That's a great question because you look at the pitching staff of both teams. Now, starting pitching-wise, and look, if the Brewers are able to get into this with Jimmy Nelson coming back, and then obviously Ulysses Chacin coming back and Gio Gonzalez, and look, if they can do that and put it all together, then they're pretty solid. Because with what they have in the pen, with the guys they'll bump out of the starting rotation into the pen, that's solid. But when you talk about the Cubs with Lester and Darvish and Quintana, Cole Hamels, Kimbrel. Obviously, he'll be up soon. Pedro Strop still is in the back end of that bullpen. Brandon Kinsler, Mike Montgomery, who's not pitching great but pretty solid. Tyler Chatwood, some of the guys that they have picked up, they're solid. So the question then will become, who do you think is more equipped to get deep into the postseason? I don't know that the Cubs have a great. You can take the names and go, wow, they've got a pretty good starting rotation. It's not, while they're lefty-heavy, it's not panning out that way for them. Their starting rotation has been iffy at times. So, again, they're hoping they put it all together. And if they do, they've got enough offense to make a run. But that's a great question. I don't know who's better equipped right now. Maybe experience-wise with Lester and Darvish and Hamels and Quintana, the Cubs are. But I would venture a guess right now that the Brewers' offense is every bit as good as what the Cubs are throwing out there, because the Cubs at times just simply go away, where the Brewers have been relatively consistent. They just don't have the pitching to be able to sustain. So I think both teams are very, very good. But just off of experience, you would probably say the Cubs. But the Brewers need to make a move to bolster what it is they have, whether it's a starting rotation or usually you would probably be looking for a lefty coming out of the pen. And then you got to figure with Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, they've got to start picking it up. And Travis Shaw is, you know, when you're platooning a guy and keeping him there and saying, this is your spot, we're going to put you in the best situation, like Adam McKelvey said, and you're not responding, man, you at what point do you pull the plug, you know?
I'm getting really frustrated with Travis Shaw, and I'm even more frustrated with the organization because last night the Padres threw out a lefty, Lucchesi, who's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight they've got a kid that they're calling up as a lefty. Tomorrow, in Game 3, they have another lefty throwing. And what the Brewers have admitted. They've admitted that they are not going to bat Travis Shaw against any left-handed pitcher. You saw it on Sunday, Bill, where Travis Shaw had two hits, great to see, against a right-hander. They put in a left-hander, and then the most awkward thing comes out. Shaw was supposed to face Holland, and instead, at the very last second, Council decides to pull him to put in Hernán Pérez because, again, if you look at the splits, Hernán Pérez bats over 300 against lefties this season. And Pérez clearly wasn't ready, and it led to an out. So last night, Brian Anderson's talking about this, and you know, you think Travis Shaw, a guy who's trying to find confidence, a guy that the Brewers have been very adamant about it, say, yeah, you know, yeah, we Travis Shaw, we need to have him up here. You know, no, we don't want to give him more time in AAA to figure this out. We want him here. Well, if you're not going to put him in against lefties and not give him any chance to hit against lefties, then why is he here right now?
Right.
Because Keston Hira, a right-handed bat, mind you, who continues to light it up in AAA since he got sent back down. Wait, wouldn't you want Keston Hira's bat against all of these lefties in this series? And it appears to me that Travis Shaw probably won't play tonight and that Hernán Pérez will go back in there. And by the way, Pérez was 0-3 last night. Ask yourself this. Wouldn't you rather have Keston Hira at second base over Hernán Pérez against any lefty?
Right now, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
This is starting to get a little ridiculous. And if you look at the splits of Travis Shaw in his career, he's 254 against righties, and he's 229 against lefties. It's not like this guy's batting 100 against lefties in his career. He's been able to level off a little bit. So don't you think maybe you should try Travis Shaw against a left-handed pitcher just because? Just because everyone believes that Travis Shaw is this good and he's the 30 home run guy?
I really look at it this way, that they are trying to give him the best opportunity to be successful. The problem is they're fearful that if he does bat against lefties and he's not successful, his confidence goes even further into the crapper.
Then this guy shouldn't be up
then
here.
Then that's my point exactly.
He shouldn't
then
be
if
up
that's
here.
That's the case. He shouldn't be here. He's taking a spot up as a part-time player who shouldn't be, because you've got an everyday player in the minors right now that should be up here. And that's the frustration.
You're saying that you don't have enough confidence in Travis Shaw to go against left-handed pitchers. Mike Moustakas had struggles against it, but guess what? Mike Moustakas, he's batting like 270 against lefties, so of course they're going to bat him. Eric Thames is doing all right against lefties. They'll put him in. So you mean to tell me you cannot let Travis Shaw get a shot against a lefty and get three or four at-bats in to see what happens, especially after the game where he had two hits on Sunday? And you immediately pull him?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Otherwise, this is ridiculous. Send him down. He has an option. Let him figure it out against lefties. And bring Keston here up, and let's knock this crap off.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. We'll get back into this coming up here in just a bit. We got Burke Griffin, the sports director from WFRV-TV in Green Bay, CBS 5. He's going to be joining us coming up next. Then we're going to get back into the Brewers chatter as well. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Newmail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state, well beyond the borders. They have locations in Milwaukee, Green Bay, also down in Illinois. And all you got to do is call 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Whether it's ED, the erectile dysfunction, which they have a 98% success rate with, or low T, no energy, no mental stamina, no mental clarity, no physical stamina for that matter, or the all-in-one weight loss program, which maybe you need just to shed a few pounds, is eventually sometime in the month of September, and then it'll last about 8 days. Summer will get here, and you want to look good in a T-shirt. So make sure you give them a call, because you can't do anything if you don't call them. I mean, it's worth at least a consultation, right? 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. Burt Griffin, CBS 5 in Green Bay, next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. I've been telling you for a while about my friends over at Cousin Subs. They still want to send you to Summerfest, give you a VIP experience. So if you want one, here's your chance. Enter Big Gig Giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest. 11 concerts, 11 nights, the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. You have 11 chances to win. 2 tickets, parking pass, gift cards, so much more. You can't win if you don't enter. Go to CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. That's CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. And don't forget, they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Glad to have Cousin Subs on board. Burt Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Burt, how you doing?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're doing well. Now that the minicamp has culminated, Michael Silver's piece is out, and now we've got something to chew on, at least for the next 6 weeks, I guess, until everybody comes back together. But I got to ask you, just you tell me, do you think that because I don't think, first of all, no matter what I think, the proof is in the pudding, so we're not going to see anything until training camp, exhibition season, and then obviously getting into the regular season. But what do you think that working relationship is right now in Green Bay between the three-headed monster, that's the general manager, the president, the head coach, and then obviously the head coach and the quarterback?
Well, I think start with the three-headed monster first. I mean, clearly Mark Murphy is running the show, and he wants to let it be known, because I know when he introduced Brian Gutekunst, and he drops subtle hints all the time as to, hey, guys, remember, I know a lot about football, too. I'm not just a former athletic director. I'm not a former lawyer. He did play in the league. So he wants everybody to know that he might, subtly be the smartest guy in the room when it comes to football stuff. He also feels like his background lends itself to having those credentials where he kind of has done it all on the field, in the front office. He's done just about everything there is to do. So I think Goody is your guy when it comes to really selecting the players, like the guys he wanted to get here. This is your thing. Now we're letting Matt run all the football stuff. If Matt is supposed to be as smart as we thought he was, and if he's got the credentials on his resume from the grooming of Matt Ryan to working with Sean McVay with the Rams and having a high-powered explosive offense, that is going to be his job and his job only. Now that this little thing comes out, you know what? It really goes back. This reminds me of what Mike Sherman used to say. Anytime Amon Green would have 150 yards and they'd run all over somebody and they'd win. Well, it's a simple game, guys. You just got to run and block and tackle. And when they would lose, oh, you guys have no idea how complicated this sport is. I mean, there's so much. You have no idea in the media. You know what? You're right. We don't know the exact progression from 1 to 2 to 3 all the time. But usually you can watch a quarterback, and by his eyes in the direction where he's going, you can see where the reads are. If a dude is wide open, Aaron Rodgers is going to hit him. So this whole what's going to happen at the line of scrimmage – sometimes you just have to make that audible. You have to make that adjustment in order to make a play. At this point, I don't think there's any risks. I don't think anyone knows what's going on behind the scenes. And, Bill, you know as well as anyone else, if there's a reporter out there who writes something and they think they have the pulse of the locker room, they are so full of it, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You might know what one player who you've got a really close working relationship with, or one front office guy who might give you a little nugget here and there. They might tell you a little something, but you don't have the pulse of the whole locker room. There's 80 dudes in that locker room.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of egos, a lot of attitudes, a lot of humbleness, a lot of thoughts, opinions certainly coming out of locker rooms. It's great to get insight into specific instances, but it doesn't always paint the entire picture, which is why I've always said, hey, look, sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire, when you hear all these negative things and people get all pissed off, how dare you talk about the Packers. On the other hand, it's not to one extreme or the other. I think there's a lot of in-between there, and the one thing that I have gotten out of these camps, whether it's the OTAs or the mini camps or what have you, is the fact that there is a different air, a breath in that locker room now. You didn't realize how maybe stale things had become until you have somebody new. And that's the one thing that I'm taking away from all of this.
Yeah, I agree. There's a little bit of the new girlfriend syndrome in there. Everything, you know, the lights are brighter, literally, in the hallways of the locker room. It doesn't seem as dark and dreary. The players seem to have a little bit more of a voice. There's no fear of being a personality. I think in the long run, the age difference for the entire staff as a whole, I mean, when Mike Pettine is your only guy that is over 50, and you go back to McCarthy's staff and you had like 7 or 8 guys who were, you know, they looked like father figure types. They're running around. And now Matt LaFleur is paying the price by tearing his Achilles, trying to hoop it up. Now he may want to reconsider that, but backpedaling, throwing in drills, and being out there on the practice field with the guys. I think the music, I mean, there's constant music. They had some music at practices before, but, I mean, it's constantly going. The double drills, and I think I heard a conversation with you and Mike Clemens talking about that about a week or two ago. And, you know, I mean, they've got no room for error. I mean, the focus is more when you've got two guys doing two things at once, where he's handing off one, somebody's pitching Rodgers the ball, and then he's doing a reverse left bootleg and then throwing that second ball down the field to another guy. There's not a moment wasted during these practices.
I go back to a lot of the things that I've heard regarding and seen regarding these practices is this reminds me a little of Belichick. Belichick wants things done and done right on the field. It's not, hey, let's do it twice, then we'll go look at it and see how we look. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It seems more like we're going to do things and do it right. And I know some guys are frustrated with the, hey, I already know how to block. I already know how to drop step. I already know how to come out of a three-point stance. I know how to sit up and pass by. I get that. But he's going back to the, we're going to pay attention to the details, and we're going to make sure that what we do correct. It's boring for a veteran, but I don't have a major problem with it as a fan.
Nope. And you know what? I think the moves they made, bringing in those 4 guys, 3 of them on defense, and it may be a small little deal because people don't care about the offensive line as much, generally speaking, but having Billy Turner there, who can do it all, I think Za'Darius Smith, I mean, he is a fresh breath air. I mean, he to me is going to be one of the keys on that defense. You got a guy like Preston Smith, who is really, he's a D lineman, outside linebacker hybrid. I know they have him listed at that, but when they run so much nickel and they're running a 42, and Za'Darius is going to be coming off the edge. But Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage Jr., the guy they drafted. I mean, it makes you forget about what Josh Jones said early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like those 4 guys have really brought kind of a new, like a new attitude. And, you know, I mean, Aaron's always been the leader and will always be the guy. There's no question about it. We know Devontae's the man in that wide receiver group, and there's 3, 4, 5 other guys behind him who are pretty solid dudes on the young, and that chart is going up for them. But there's a new attitude there. And, you know, Jair Alexander, I mean, if he stays healthy, he could be an all-pro guy. Not just out of his mouth, him the one talking. I mean, he might be Terrell Buckley, who is better than Terrell Buckley. There's an attitude on that defense.
I was just going to say, I think one of the most underrated signings this offseason, provided he stays healthy, is going to be Adrian Amos. I think he's just going to solidify the back end. He's going to help the guys that are back there. I think it's going to help the guys up front. I just crossing my fingers that I'm right, and that I've got this gut feeling, this foreshadowing that something good is going to start happening defensively that hasn't happened back there in a long, long time. Burke, always a pleasure, buddy. Certainly keep up the good work, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Sounds good, man. No problem.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. There's Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been doing this. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. We got a lot more coming up right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they wanted to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, Happy Father's Day, and God bless.
At some point, now, this is unless he does something egregious or just crazy, this is it when it comes to this idiot. He used to be one of the iconic figures in the world of sports. Used to be. And for whatever reason, there is a fever pitch for OJ now that he's hit Twitter, as if he's now going to suddenly reveal something other than the idiot he is. And I got some revenge to get, or whatever it is he said. Hey, the whole Khloe Kardashian thing, it's hard for me because it's almost hypocrisy to talk about this moron. Because he goes on, people are saying, well, you know, he was something he was attracted to Kris Jenner or something like that. And here's what he had to say.
Hello, Twitter world. This is yours truly. You know, this is my first venture into the social media world, and it's amazing, you know, especially how quickly they can put up counterfeit sites. Anyway, we'll deal with that. My life has always been involved in the sports world, and I suspect as the weeks goes on, that's pretty much what we'll be talking about. But once in a while, I'm going to go off topic and talk about something else, and this is one of those times. You know, Bob Kardashian, he's like a brother to me. He's a great guy. He met and married Chris, and they really had a terrific time together when they were together. Unfortunately, that ended. But never, and I want to stress, never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically or sexually, and I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus, bad, you know, tasteless. Khloe, like all the girls I'm very proud of, just like I know Bob would be if he was here, but the simple facts of the matter is she's not mine. Now, one of the people who's spreading this rumor is a guy that the media loves to say is my manager. I had one manager in my whole life, Chuck Barnes, when I came out of USC for 3 years. Unfortunately, he died about 45 years ago. But even before he died, I opened my own office with the help of Skip Taft, my lawyer, my two assistants, Marilyn O'Brien, the late Marilyn O'Brien, and Kathy Randa. And I've always managed my own affairs, and I like to think very successfully. So when you see these guys like Norm and these guys claim that they're my manager, it's just not true. I may have done a deal here or there with them, but none of these guys have ever was anything remotely like a manager for me. In any event, that's it for today. Happy Father's Day. Take care.
This guy is... I don't know why rumors about OJ bother OJ. You know? I mean, of all the things that have been said about him, that's the one that bothers him the most. just clearly doesn't get it. But there is this fascination with him that I just, for whatever reason, I cannot put my finger on. It's kind of like people that just love to go to the races to see the crash. That's it. And there's so, look, the Brewers are in the thick of a pennant race. The Packers are right now trying to put it all together offensively to support what they believe to be a better defense and get themselves back into the postseason. You got Major League Baseball's trade deadline. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks trying to figure out what they're going to do this upcoming offseason, the money they're going to spend, the money they're going to have, who they're going to keep, who they're going to let go. You've got all of this going on in our own backyard. You just had a tremendous U.S. Open. You got AmFam coming here. You've got the Indy races at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, and yet for whatever reason, this idiot sits as a topic of conversation on many water coolers. I don't know why, but it's just it almost makes me sick to talk about O.J. Simpson. I know that's bad. I don't know. There's a fascination there, and I get it, and I know that we have to mention it, but like I said, unless he does something completely egregious, chances are you're not going to hear about O.J. anymore. Not on this one. The guy's a goof. Just a complete, I mean, he's a sideshow. I thought some of the stuff that he did in Naked Gun and such, was pretty good. But since then, it hasn't been necessarily the most exemplary life for one Orenthal J. Simpson. There you have it. Let's get back at it, shall we? Shall we? When we come back, we'll talk some Bucks basketball. Because there's some deals to be done, and what are the Bucks going to do? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.